introduce this fellow that's getting ready to preach tonight. Of course, if you are even remotely familiar with Macedonia, he needs no introduction because he has been there all these years, over 40 years now. Dr. Dean Hamby served with his wife Karen and their children for several years in the Ivory Coast in Africa, planted a wonderful church there that's still going today. But throughout the course of his tenure there, Dr. Wade needed help at the home office. God had begun to bless Macedonia and send more missionary families with a board. And God began to lead Dr. Wade in choosing a man to come and serve as his assistant director. I've heard Dr. Wade tell that story time and time again. He said, I was in a motel room, and he told the place, I can't remember where. But he said, I sat up in the bed one night. It was in the wee hours of the morning. He said, Mrs. Wade thought I was crazy. And I'm not so sure she wasn't right on that. But he said, I sat right up in the bed one night, and God laid this name on my heart, Dean Hamby. And boy, after all these years, I really believe, in fact, I know it was God that laid Dr. Dean Hamby's name on Dr. Wade's heart, because he felt led of the Lord to come back from the Ivory Coast and start serving with Dr. Wade, and he still remains at that very post this very day. The Bible says this, moreover, it is required. It is not suggested. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I'm thankful for the talent God gives us. I'm thankful that around here at Macedonia, all of us have a desire. Whatever we do for the Lord, we want it to be right. We want it to be first class. But I guarantee you, when we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat, there's one word that we're going to hear often, and that is the word faithful. Well, I want you to know, when it comes to Macedonia World Baptist Missions, there's one man that stands out above all of them as being faithful. And this is the man you're blessed to hear preach tonight. He's my friend. He's my co-laborer. When folks ask me about Brother Dean Hamby, this is what I say. He is the nuts and the bolts of Macedonia World Baptist Missions. And for those of you that know anything about our home office, you'll agree with me. Because he may not be the one that's out front all the time, but I tell you, without him, it would not run. And so it's my privilege to introduce him to you. He's our assistant director and has been for over 40 years. I could think of nobody I'd rather have close out this conference than Dr. Dean Hamby. You make him feel welcome tonight.
Appreciate that. As some of you on this side maybe have seen me taking these little pills, and I just want to explain what these are. I've just started they're little tiny pills, and I've just started a medication for hair growth, and it's why are you laughing? It's called Nogaine, and it works. These are actually a little cough drop that I tuck away in my cheek, and I have had a sinus problem here lately, so I hope you'll forgive me if I get to spitting and sputtering here in a little bit. But if you'll give me just a few minutes, I want to say before I get started, I want to thank everyone that's had part in the conference. So much labor has gone in to the work here at the church, and every meal, every floor that's been vacuumed, every commode that's been cleaned, everything that's been done from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for it. And I don't know if you know this, but me and Pastor Foskey were going to be having a meal prepared for last Sunday night for the international banquet. And we were going to have rabbit stew, but we were afraid that you might find a hair in it, so we didn't. So. Isn't that corny? A hair, rabbit. Y'all are a rough bunch. They set the bar so high. You heard about the guy. He said, put it higher, big old proud guy. He got up high about 10 feet. He's going to jump over that thing. He took two steps and fell flat on his face. The next little guy, he was only about 4 feet tall. He said, higher, because they lowered it down to about 2 feet for him, making a joke. He said, higher. Everybody's gasping, higher, gasping, higher. Everybody's gasping. He gets it up to about 6 feet. He walks under it. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk under that thing. No way to do what I could do or should do with all the preaching. I shouldn't say could do, but what I should do with all the preaching that's been done. It's been awesome, hadn't it? Been tremendous, and all the testimony has been great. Would you stand with me quickly? Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24. I'm going to read three verses of scripture, beginning in verse number 6 down to verse number 8. Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 6. The Bible says, I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and he came into the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they had cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea unto them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye have dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand that you might possess the land, and I destroyed them from before you. Let's pray. Father, for the few moments that we have together, how we thank you for the privilege that's been ours to be here, to, Father, to enjoy the fellowship and the food, but, Father, the spiritual nourishment that we've gotten from the men of God this week, whether it has been by testimony or from the preaching of your word, you have stirred my heart and you have just done some wonderful things. And thank you for what you're doing here at Corinth, and thank you for what you're going to do in the days ahead at Macedonia. And I pray that you'd help us, Father, to be found faithful when you come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you'll give me just a few moments of your time, I know the time, it's late, and so I'm not going to take much of your time, but at the beginning of my message, if you notice at the banner in front of me, it says 50 years. And Dr. Marshall Everett out of the Gwinnett Hall Baptist Church started Macedonia. The first vice president of Macedonia was a man by the name of Curtis Hudson. And he was the pastor of Forest Hills Baptist Church. And from the very inception, October the 2nd, 1967, to today, God has given faithful men to be in the leadership of Macedonia. I think of Dr. Richards, who was the president for 26 years and on the board for all those years. And I think of Dr. Wade for 40 years. And I think about the men who have kept the same standards all the way through and have said they are not going to compromise, they're not going to give up, not going to change. And I'm as convinced tonight as I was the first day that Dr. Caudill came and he said, I believe that it's God's will for me to be the general director. I'm as convinced tonight as I was that very first time that it is absolutely God's perfect will for him to be here. And I am honored to be able to work with him and beside him and along with him and all the others in our office. And I'm looking forward for what God has in the future. He may come back tonight. I don't know when he's coming back, but he is coming back. But until then, to be found faithful when he comes. I want to share with you a few thoughts out of the verses that I read to you tonight. In 13 verses of Scripture, Joshua covers over 700 years, and he covers almost 6 books of the Bible. And so we find in these 3 verses, don't you wish a preacher would be that quick, you know, cover 700 years worth of time and, you know, in about 13 verses of Scripture. But what he's doing, he's putting a net around the heart of the elders of Israel, drawing their hearts until he can get to verse number 14 and verse number 15, because he's bringing them to a crossroads. And did you know every day of our life is a crossroads where we make decisions which could very well affect us the rest of our lives, whether it be a crossroads at an intersection, whether you're going to run the red light or not, or whatever it is. You know, what the food I ate today may not be so much as a thing that might change my life for the rest of my life, but there are things that are going to happen. There are going to be decisions that we're going to make that are going to affect us, but not only affect us, but are going to affect those around about us, and I think is going to set us on a path and on a course that could absolutely change things in the future, not for only for ourselves, but for others. I think of so many people in the Word of God. And so tonight I want to give you 3 thoughts out of these 3 verses that I think that we need to remember. And the thought from my message tonight is simply this: remember to be able to continue. Remember to be able to continue. And we'll get through this and we'll be done. First of all, I think we need to remember the destruction of the fire. 3 times in the Word of God, you're going to find that Egypt is likened to an iron furnace. An iron furnace. I think about when I think about an iron furnace, I think about, number one, fire that cannot be quenched. Think about where the children of Israel were. Think about what they were doing. They were making bricks for the Egyptians, and they had to keep the fires running constantly in order to make the bricks for those. But God is likening to that for them, for the destruction and the condemnation of the souls of men. In those fields of Egypt, not only did they gather the mud and gather the straw, I believe also in those same fields were the graveyards of people that dropped dead, died in Egypt. And I believe tonight what we need to remember is that there is a fire that is unquenchable, a fire that is everlasting. There is a fire to which men and women are condemned. And it's not that they're going to be condemned. They are already condemned by way and by virtue of the fact that they are a sinner before a holy God. To remember one of the problems with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, they forgot about the fire. They forgot about the iron furnace because it's not only a fire that can't be quenched, it's also a furnace which cannot be escaped from. That's where they were. But they forgot. All they could remember was the leeks and the onions and the garlic. All they could remember is a little bit of the food. They forgot about the misery and the bondage and the death there in Egypt. But you know what I think about when it comes to this destruction? You know what God wants us to remember tonight? That in front of every sinner there ought to be a barrier. In front of every sinner ought to be a barrier. I think about the rich man of Lazarus. Did you know that God put a pauper, a beggar, he put an invalid at the gate of a rich man. And that rich man, every day that he went out of that gate, he had to either step over or go around that barrier. And that barrier's name was Lazarus. Not much of a barrier, would you say? I mean, the dogs would come and lick his sores. Not much of a barrier. He's a pauper. He couldn't even take care of himself. But God wanted this rich man to know there was a God in heaven. And when this rich man died, did you know what the first thing that he remembered when he got there? When he asked Abraham to send Lazarus to he may dip the tip of his finger in water to cool his tongue. He said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime hadst thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil." One of the first things that he remembered was, "Oh, Lazarus." Can I tell you, when we are going to go on for 50 more years, we better remember the destruction of the fire, because Macedonia World Baptist Missions, yea, and every local church, we have a mission. And when we forget our mission, we have put ourselves out of business. To be a barrier in front of the world, in front of a lost sinner, he has put his will in front of them. It's not his will that any should perish. He has put his word in front of them. He has put his work, the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of supplication, he's put it in front of them, and he has used us as his witness in front of them. And so we need to remember that there is a destruction of fire, that men, women, and boys and girls are going to that place. And can I tell you that everyone in this building, we were either going to or some are going to that place called hell. We need to remember the destruction of the fire, that place of Egypt, in verse number 6. Number 2, would you notice with me in verse number 7, when I think about not only that we need to remember the destruction of the fire, we need to remember the disgrace of falling. I thought about two words. I thought about using the damage of falling. I thought about a man by the name of David. Remember what happened to David? And the damage that he caused to his own family and the disgrace. I think about in Egypt all of the graves that were buried and were dug. And I think about the people that died in Egypt. But I think about all of the people that died in the wilderness. Would you look at the end of verse number 7? He says, "And he dwelt in the wilderness a long season." That was not the will of God, the plan of God. God's plan was to take them to Mount Sinai, to change them, give them the law, and take them straight to the promised land. But at Kadesh Barnea, it all changed. And for 40 years, you know what they got good at doing? They got good at walking. And let me tell you something else they got good at. They got good at digging a grave. Someone wrote and said that you could follow the life of Abraham as he journeyed by the altars he left behind, and you could follow the life of the children of Israel by the graves they left behind. And we better remember how many people have died since Macedonia was started. I calculated 2,750,000 people have died in 50 years. But how many people have fallen that were among the ranks of those that served God? Have fallen. Some into gross immorality, and all sorts of things. But can I tell you where it started? I believe it started in Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 5, where to remember from whence ye have fallen. Where had they fallen from? They had fallen out of love with Jesus. It doesn't start with the gross sin, but it starts the day that you stop loving Him. You didn't lose it. You walked away from it. You don't lose your love. You walk away from it. It's a deliberate act on our part. The disgrace, the damage. I remember my brother said one day, we were having a testimony time at my mom and dad's house at Thanksgiving, and my brother said, I don't want to ever do anything to disgrace the name of my mom and dad, but I tell you, I don't want to disgrace the name of the Lord. Amen. Let me give you three things quickly you can think about to remember why we don't want to disgrace Him. Because in verse number 5 and 6 and 7, He conquered everything that held us bound. Mm-hmm. He conquered it all. Can I tell you something else that He did for me in these verses of Scripture? He confused everything that was designed to keep me bound. You remember the children of Israel, Pharaoh, he chased after them, got to the Red Sea, and what did God do? He brought darkness between the children of Israel and Egypt. And darkness always brings confusion. On the side of the children of Israel is light, but on the other side it was darkness. Aren't you glad that we got a God in heaven, that He brings confusion to the enemy, and He gives us light? Let me give you a third thing that He did for us. He carried away everything that would keep them bound. When Pharaoh and his army entered into that Red Sea, the Bible tells me that He covered them. He brought the water over them and He covered them, and the water took them away. Aren't you glad that everything that would try to keep me, God has taken care of it? Amen. I'm glad for what God has done. We need to remember the disgrace of falling. How many people in this building tonight, you're ready to quit? How many in this building tonight, you've already quit? You're just in a bodily presence here tonight, but you've already quit. But what a disgrace. I like Brother Baker's testimony when he talked about his dad and where his dad was, but where his dad left and where his dad was no more because God had saved him. I like to hear stories about people that have gone, man, my heart was blessed when I saw an 86-year-old giant sitting in that wheelchair right there. They could hardly talk, can hardly walk. But a giant among men, faithful unto death. Friend, I want you to know tonight, it is no honor to quit. I mean, you can give every excuse in the world of why you're going to quit and why you have quit, and you can call it anything in the world but quitting. But how many people have quit? And because they have quit, I want you to know their families have gotten out of the will of God. There is a lot at stake, and there is a disgrace. But then last of all, we need to remember the delight of finishing. Oh, if you were to go over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4, you're going to find some verses of Scripture that Paul talks about his present service and what God had for him. Let me give them to you really quick. Number one, did you know there's a delight? Because when it comes to this thing of finishing, there's three things. There's when I surrendered, and there's what I did in my service, and then there's who I served. But can I tell you, there is a delight when it comes to my surrender down here. I'll never forget. These two people sitting right over here on the second pew were there the night Karen and I surrendered about 2:00 in the morning at Mineral Park Baptist Church. Brother James had just gotten in church. Miss Melba, she was working at the mission office as the accountant. Back in those days, there wasn't much, was there, Miss Melba? But Brother James had just gotten in, and we were there, and we got up at 2:00 in the morning, and we surrendered. I'll never forget. Can I tell you, it's been sweet to know that we surrender to God. There is a delight the day that you finally say, "Here it is, Lord. I want to give it all to You." And to serve in God, what a delight. But can I tell you, over on the other side, wow, how much more of a delight it's going to be when we stand before Him with whom we have to do, and knowing that He is there and our surrender, how wonderful it's going to be. But not only the delight in our surrender, but the delight in our service. I don't know if you've ever had the joy of ever leading anybody to the Lord. I didn't know when I first got saved that you were supposed to be a witness. I didn't know that. But I wanted my family to know what I had, and I went straight home and began to witness to my whole family and got to see my family get right with God. My mom and dad were saved, but out of God's will. But to see my brothers get saved and see people come to know the Lord, oh my soul. There is nothing like it in all the world of seeing somebody get saved. The delight of service to God. But I want you to know when we get before Him, man, that delight of knowing that we have served Him. Served Him. We've served Him. What are you doing with your life, young people? What are you doing with your life? One day you're going to stand before Him, and it is either going to be a wasted life or a life that's been well served for Him. There is no middle ground, and there will be zero excuses when we stand before Him, because His eyes are as a fire that'll shine and burn into the recesses and crevices of our soul to expose us for what we really are, whatever it be. And there'll be no chance to make it up or change it. It will be written and engraven for all eternity. Our service to God. Service to God. The delight in service. But then last of all, the delight in our Savior. Oh, man, can I tell you tonight that it is a delight to work with men that I've had the privilege to work with. And I didn't get to introduce her. I didn't take time to introduce my wife until right now. I want her to stand. Would you please? She doesn't like that, but I'm going to have her anyway. It has been a delight, is not even a good word, to have been partnered with, and God gave me my wife. And to know that God put us together to serve together and walk through life together and help each other and support each other. But can I tell you, there's not a person on planet Earth that can compare with Him. My wife can help me so far, but that's it. But I want you to know, He knows. And boy, when I need somebody to come where I am to rescue me, to help me, to pick me up, to bear me, to shoulder me, to do what I cannot do, can I tell you, He's always there. Oh, down here, what a delight that we have a Savior, and He's the one that we serve, and He's the one we've surrendered to. I didn't surrender to Macedonia. I didn't surrender to Africa. I didn't surrender to this position. I surrendered to the Savior. Oh, my soul. Oh, my goodness. Can I tell you, we need to remember, if we're going to continue in our life till Jesus comes or till we go to meet Him by way of the grave, we need to remember there is a delight because of Him. But one day we're going to stand before Him. Think about it, Brother David. We're going to stand before Him. The one who was pierced for us. I helped drive the nails in His hands and feet, by the way. I'm the one that put that crown of thorns on Him. And I'm the one that thrust the spear into His side. It was me. I've never got to see Him. I've never got to touch Him. But one day I'm going to see Him. And can I tell you, there's not one thing that you got to do to make Him love you. And there's not one thing that you can do to make Him quit loving you. What a Savior. Amen. We serve Him tonight. And there is a delight knowing one day we're going to see Him face to face. The delight's really going to come after the judgment seat, by the way, because that's going to be Oh, but for eternity, the delight of our Savior. Now, what about you tonight? Has it been on and off, up and down, in and out? Has it been just so inconsistent that your own kids don't even know where you stand? They don't even know if you're saved or not. How tragic. Or have you lived a life that people can look at? You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a missionary. You've just been consistent. You've just been steady. Whatever God has got you doing, you've just done it. And you've just done it. Tonight, we need to remember in order to be able to continue. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, I pray that as we think about the few thoughts tonight, that we would be found faithful where you put us, Father, laboring until Jesus comes. I pray now, Father, in this few moments we have together, that you'll bless as the preacher comes tonight with the invitation, in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.